Let's pray. Okay, God, this is a fun place, and we love it, and there's nothing wrong with that. And Lord, your word says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is Eleutheria. And God, that perfectly translates where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's fun. And Lord, we don't take that for granted. In fact, you have given us a reverent, sin-hating, loving, fear of God fun, Lord, that enables, that enriches, that empowers, Lord, and causes us to be far greater than we are because of the authority and the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we're asking for that you'd loose that through your word this morning. Would you do that, God? Would you do that, God? Lord, I pray it so often because I just know how good you are and how great you are. And I know Chantel prays it too, Lord. And that's why, God, they do such a good job honoring you. Lord, we give you our 5 loaves and 2 fishes now. And God, give us what we need this week, Lord. And we surrender, Lord, what we have now to you, that you would break it and you'd make it come alive. In the name of Jesus, amen. Ordinary Average Guy, Part 3. And Jean wants you to know that he's endeavoring to get the podcasts up quicker, okay? Because as soon as they get to Bailey, Bailey has them up in minutes. But the time they get to Bailey, sometimes it's a few days. So I want you to be encouraging to Jean today and tell him how much you appreciate, you know, how much he puts in that. Because he edits it too. Remember the first one we did where I played the whole tune? You wouldn't believe the editing job he did. He's got to edit it because, like, if that we put that on air, yeah, we're in trouble. And so we appreciate that greatly. So when we last left our boy here, Elijah, he was having a pity party. And just to give you some context, this guy has been the focal point of probably the biggest miracle Israel has seen in hundreds of years. Okay. There has been a lightning bolt experience has changed the whole sociology and opinion and social structure of Israel, okay? There are 800 of their leading influential prophets, and they've got influence because of Jezebel and Ahab, okay? They have been executed, okay? Now, you know that Ahab and Jezebel, because they're the king and the queen, there's no way they would have allowed that. Okay, Elijah had that execution take place because the authority of God overruled the ruling authorities here. And the people went along with it, and the people realized God needs to do this now. Now apply that to all the crazy stuff that goes on in our country. Okay, now I'm not advocating anything, okay? But all I'm saying is when people call on God and when people turn to God and when somebody stands in the gap, it just shows up, an ordinary average guy. And yields his life to God. Because for all Elijah knew, he was going to die. Okay? When somebody yields their life, it's unbelievable how God can literally flow through one person. One person, ordinary, average, just like us. So, he has witnessed this incredible display of God's power. Okay? And the guy's having a pity party. Okay? He's having a pity party. He is running for his life. Jezebel has made a threat because, you know, all her infrastructure, her religious infrastructure, has been stripped. And she, if anything, Ahab and Jezebel have been, at no time in their rule, have they ever been exposed for the inept, ridiculous, evil leaders that they are right now. They know, okay, that they are on the run. So she makes these threats. And Elijah falls for it, okay? I mean, I don't understand this guy. He is, I said last week, you know, this angel comes and helps him. I'd want to throttle this guy. How dare you doubt the power of God? How dare you? You know, I just kill me now, God. That's what he said last week, okay? In the earlier verses. So that's where we pick it up right now, okay? And this angel comes along in 1 Kings 19:5. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." Now, we talked a little bit about this last week, about get up, you know, get up and do what God wants you to do. But I want to go a little bit deeper on it now, okay? The angel didn't lift him up. Do you notice that? Didn't lift, oh, here, Elijah, lift him up. We're looking often for God to lift us up. The angel says, get up. I think it was a stern voice. I could be wrong, okay? When he says get up, there's a lot of implications there. Didn't lift him up. Didn't even help him up. Says, get up. Go in the strength you have. It's not over, Elijah. Boy, that'd be good enough for me. If I died with that, I'd be ready to die right there. I would. Okay, I've done my job. I'm ready to, you know, whatever. No. It's not over yet, Elijah. There's more stuff for you to do. Okay? You gotta go, I wanna take you deeper. There's still things that have to happen. Now, his lack of faith, Elijah, his whining, he's whining, oh, kill me right now, okay? His unfounded fear, and we know the end of the story, you know, unfounded fear. We talked about it last week, his possible bipolarity. It's very possible this guy's bipolar, okay? Doesn't stop God from believing in him. Doesn't stop God from saying, Elijah, you're my guy. I don't know about you, I would have slapped this guy if I was God. It would just smarten up, you know? What's with you? I know I would have gone like Casey Stengel led the New York Yankees to like 10 World Series in the 50s. You had Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris and Yogi Berra and all these like, and Whitey Ford, all these incredible players. And then he was done. They got rid of him because he turned 70 and he says, you're too old. And he said to the priest, oh, I'll never make that mistake again. And, when the Giants and the Dodgers moved to the West Coast, the National League started the New York Mets. Okay. And, if you know anything about baseball history, the New York Mets, the 62 Mets have the record for losing the most games in a season. I mean, they were called the Amazing Mets because they were amazingly bad. It was just, and they figured, let's bring Casey Stengel, World Series guy, over the hill, but he's going to manage this team. And he managed them for the first two or three years, and the press had a heyday with it. Ron Swoboda, after a play, you know, they were making errors all the time. And he'd say, man, these guys lose games in ways I never knew existed, okay? Ron Swoboda came after a bad play, took the a drinking fountain off the wall, ripped it and threw it out there. And somebody was looking at Stengel, waiting for him to say, and he say something. He said, man, if you guys did that, you know, like every time you made a bad play, we wouldn't have any fountains or seats or anything left in the stadium anymore, okay? He was always making he was a real fun guy to listen to. And they were so bad, one of the signature lines he was known for was, and there's pictures of him with the caption at the bottom. He was doing this all the time. Can anybody here play this game? You know? That's what I would have been with Elijah. What, is there nobody? And in fact, Elijah's like that. He says, I'm the only guy left, you know? And God says, no, there's 7,000 of you, Elijah, you know? He had all these issues. He's whining. He's witness to the greatest miracle anybody's ever seen in the country since Moses. Oh, I'm going to die, okay? I'm sure God, there must have been someone. Oh, no. God still believes in him. God says, you're my guy. I am not turning my back on you, okay? And that's what he does for all of us. God, I have a tough time believing in God. Okay, let's turn it around. He believes in you more than you believe in him. Have you got that? He believes in you more than you believe in him. Elijah, whatever God's got in store for him, I don't think he deserves it. But that doesn't matter, okay? God is not turning his back on him, okay? So, it says that all at once the angel touched him. That's a good thing. Didn't help him up, but he touched, didn't smack him, touched him. I would have smacked him, but he touched him, okay? I mean, it would have said struck him, but he didn't. He just touched him. Would have been kind of like, hey, get up and eat, you know? Pretty affectionate. Pretty tender. There's a difference between anguish and whining. Have you got that? There's a difference between anguish and whining. I don't think Elijah was necessarily whining here. I think he was in anguish. If he was bipolar, well, then that would explain it. He's all over the map here. But, and I, like I said last week, if he was bipolar, then God's belief in him and God's consistency of wanting to use him is even a greater miracle. Because that doesn't stop God from flowing through him. That doesn't say, no, you don't qualify. You're my guy, Elijah. And he touches him. Now, there's a difference between anguish and whining. And the difference is the heart. Okay? And only God knows the heart. Sometimes you don't even know whether it's anguish or whining in your own heart. That's why we stay close to him. And I want to go to what the word says about this so you know it's not just the overexcited preacher here. Guys, you've heard me quote this one often. The heart is deceitful above all things beyond cure. Who can understand it? But then there's this other one here in Genesis. Look at this. Every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. Whoa, there's quite an indictment, eh? man, you know, hey, I'm the one that said, I'm the one that's reminding you all the time. The only people who know how God's grace, how amazing it is, are people who know how sinful they are. Are people that know how horrible their own sin is. You meet anybody that thinks they're okay. That's why the Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That's why it says that Isaiah says there's none righteous. We have all turned away to follow our own ways, okay? The Bible is very clear on where we are outside of God. Not in a good place. But when you understand your own sin, when you understand your own limitations, then the veil starts coming off and you start seeing, wow, His grace really is something. And I don't know about Elijah's heart here. It's either anguish or whining. I inclined to believe it was anguish even if it was whining, it doesn't matter. God believes in him. God touches him and says, get up. God knows how deceitful we are. He knows how weak we are. And he knows, now some people get down on that. Oh, you Christians, you're always down on each other. Nah, that just magnifies how great God is. He knows how much of a jerk I am. He knows how horrible we are. And he's crazy in love with us anyway. That doesn't stop him from loving us. That doesn't stop him from having his will. And it's the ones that yield, and it's not always easy, you know, to know how to yield. Because sometimes you can be thinking you're yielding and you're just being lazy. Other times yielding is you got to get up. Okay? And in this case, the angel's saying to Elijah, get up. He knows how wicked we are, but he also knows that he is the only cure. And he pursues us. It's a hard thing to run away from God, okay? Heather's going to tell her story some Saturday morning, and you're going to hear a story of how when she was running from God and she was going through all kinds of suffering and all kinds of frustration and stress, and she actually said to the doctors who were checking her out, this is my mom's prayers, I know it, okay? God pursues, okay? This guy's messed up, Elijah, this guy's whining, this guy's in anguish, and he gets an angel sent to him. Okay, I know some of you are thinking, oh, should God send an angel to me? Well, chances are he probably already has. And we need his anointing to be able to recognize those angels, okay? We need help with that. I don't know about you, I do. Man, I've been accused. I've got a really good friend, a lot of you know him, and I've shared this story. I've been accused of a very dear friend of mine, and I know he only prays for my benefit. And he's the only PAOC pastor that's been in contact with me since I left my last church, okay? And he says, Counsel, I don't know anybody that doesn't know how to enjoy the blessing of the Lord like you. Okay? That's quite an indictment, okay? I live in the blessing of the Lord, and I could be the biggest whining, negative, dark, you know. I know God probably should slap me every once in a while. Well, he does. He has, you know, two wonderful women to keep me in line in my house, okay? And it's wonderful, okay? It is. I whine and complain, but it's a good thing, okay? Now, he pursues. Now, I want to illustrate this way. Through giving, okay? Oh, here it comes. I knew he'd get around it sooner or later. We've been mating almost a year. Now he's going to talk about giving. Yeah, okay. Well, just tighten your seatbelts, okay? There are different types of givers, okay? There are those that if they hear of a need and are convinced it's worthy, they give. That's what most of us are. Okay, yeah, if it's a worthy cause, I'm going to give it. Then there's givers that give freely without much investigation. They just love giving. They love what it does to people, and they could care less about wealth or what. They just give, okay? Not many of those, but they're like that, okay? Really generous people. That's rare, but just plain generous. Then there's other people, and these are really rare, who go looking for needs, who seek out who needs to be blessed. And even though they're limited, they go searching. They don't wait for it to come to them, they search. That's the type of giver God is, okay? He searches out, he looks, okay? 2 Chronicles 16:9, I love this verse, it's not on the slide, but it's worth looking up. His eyes range throughout the earth, seeking to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Okay, and you can be whining, and you can be complaining, you can be down on yourself, and you can be bipolar, and you can be messed up, but your heart's longing for him, okay? He searches those people out, okay, to bless them. God pursues Elijah just like he does us. I have to remind you of the word. God does not show favoritism. Acts 10:34. God does not show favoritism. Romans 2:11, and it's other scriptures as well, but I want you to know it's not just an isolated thing. That's a principle. that he doesn't play favorites. So he says to Elijah, get up and eat. Get up, eat. Next verse. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank. And then he laid down again. I mean, come on, you get up and eat, okay? That is so me. I don't know about you, man. I'll go back to bed. You okay? Yo, man, what's that? Like, I want to throttle this guy. Next verse. The angel of the Lord came back. He gets a second visit and touched him again. Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. What journey? What are you talking about, journey? He doesn't know what he's supposed to do. Okay? He wants to die. Has no clue. Yielded, but doesn't know what to do. He just get up and what journey? What do you mean journey? Okay? I think God knew his heart that was longing for the miraculous. Okay? There's no evidence that he has any clue what to do here. He is driven to hear God, to follow God, to obey God, but he doesn't know what to do. Kind of like what we've been in the last few months, okay? We love God. We want to bless this neighborhood. It was great to be here. What do we do? I don't know. Let's pray, okay? Let's have church. How do you have church? I don't know. We'll do it the way we're used to. But, you know, we love God. He doesn't know what to do. This is right where we are. This is right where a lot of people are. What does he do? And even though he doesn't know what to do, he gets off his duff and he starts moving. Where is he going? I don't think he knows. Okay? Now, the journey is too great for you. So we got a little bit of a hint there. That's all the angel says. Now, whether she said or he said, angel, see, she, I don't know. Okay? You know, they do have gender. It just says they don't marry. It doesn't mean they're genderless. I think they are a male or female, okay? Anyway, I don't want to explain that because that's eternal and that's beyond my understanding, okay? We'll just find out when we get there, okay? Now, someday you got to preach on that, John. No! Okay? Now, the journey is too great for you, so you get a little bit of a hint, okay? The angel, you got to get this, okay? The angel doesn't tell him where to go, okay? Angel doesn't tell him where to go. This guy has been forsaking everything for years. God might lead me to dive deeper into the time where he goes to a widow. Okay? Everybody's starving. And he goes to, and widows were just, you know, they were dead meat. There's no social security. If you're a widow, you're at the bottom rung. You are going to die and nobody cares in that culture. God, what's with you, God? Are you crazy? God sends him to a widow and says, you tell that lady to take the last bit of food that she's got and make it for you before she even dies with her and her son. If I was Elijah, I'd say, what are you trying to go? What? I'm supposed to be a man of God. I don't want to go around making life more difficult for people. Go. And he goes, and there's another miracle again. So this guy, you know, he's forsaken everything. He's forsaken his reputation. He's forsaken his time, his security, his money, just to get God's direction. Go out in the wilderness. Well, I guess I'm going to die. He goes out, there's a rook there. Keeps him alive. He's got food coming from the dirtiest birds in nature. Okay? And God, he has learned, he's experienced firsthand going out on a limb where you are going to die if God is not with you. Okay? And he's still whining. He wants to die. You know, enough of these games. Enough of taking me to the edge. Enough of, you know, come on. Why don't you pick somebody else? You know? No, it's going to be you. Okay? So he does not know what he's going to do. Now, think about this. You just come off of Carmel. I explain that to you. He's not basking in political victory here. He's not doing follow-up. Oh, get the names of everybody that executed here because we want to start a movement. We want to overthrow Ahab and Jezebel. You know, that's what the flesh would do. We got to organize a campaign. No! I want to die. Okay? God's man, the most authoritative, spirit-filled powerhouse in the nation, wants to die. Okay? When everybody else would be, you know, like doing all sorts of wonderful things to overthrow Jezebel and Ahab and bring back revival in the land, you know. I'm sure they had a march for Jesus, you know, on Jerusalem that somebody was wanting to get, okay. I'm sure there were people going around getting everybody's names that were on his side. Uh-uh. Nope. You know where he goes? He doesn't know what else to do. And, you know, I could see the sense in what he does. I don't know what to do. So I'm going to go to Horeb. What's Horeb? Horeb is Mount Sinai. Horeb is where God met with Moses. And I can see the wheels spinning with Elijah. Okay, I've just seen the biggest miracle since Moses. I have no idea what I'm going to do. And that's where Moses met with God. I don't know how to meet with him. You know, he never really met with me in the wilderness. All I got was meat from crows and I got a bribbling brook. I never saw God face to face. Maybe he'll tell me what to do. So he goes to Horeb. Okay? This is amazing. Okay? When he goes to Horeb, you got to see this, okay? He goes to Horeb. It takes him 40 days. He was obviously sustained because the angel said, the journey's too great for you. He didn't even know where he's going, but he thought, I'm going to Horeb. I don't know. I don't think the angel even told him. There's no record of the angel. You will go to Mount Sinai and there God will speak to you from the mountain. You know? No. There's no clue. I'm going to go to Horeb. How can I go wrong? That's probably the holiest place in our culture. You know, and maybe if I go there and I'm not supposed to be there, he can't get that mad at me because I'm going to seek him. So I'm going to take the chance. Okay. 40 days takes him to get there. And this is beautiful. Okay. I love it. Watch this. Look at this next verse. So he got up, ate and drank, strengthened by that food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. This is beautiful. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here? Can you believe that? Isn't that not great? Is that not, you know, like, you know, oh God, I want this revelation. And finally, 40 days, you know, that 800 prophets executed fire from heaven, you know, and I get there, okay, I'm on Mount Horeb, the holiest place in Israel, and I'm waiting for God to say something. And instead of saying, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to do that, you're going to do this, he said, what are you doing here? Is there another God up there that I can talk to? You know? Doesn't that... Casey Stengel, doesn't anybody know how to run this country? I'm sure that he would felt that. Okay? So, he's up there. I think God put it in his heart to go to Horeb. His opinion now. Okay? I think God put it in his heart to go to Horeb because Elijah wasn't looking to overthrow Ahab or Jezebel. He wasn't looking for a political movement. He'd already seen the miraculous power of God. I think God put it in his heart to go to Sinai because all he wanted was God. All he wanted was to know God. All he wanted to be was in the center of his will. He saw what God can do. And he thought, man, I don't know where this is going, but I don't want to limit my imagination. I want to be where he wants me to be. So he thought, okay, I'm going to go to Horeb. And boy, I'd quit the ministry if I was there. And go, what are you doing here? Oh, okay? And it's real cute, okay? He did get there. He got there. Now think about the journey. Time is money. We use that, okay? So I'm putting it on myself. Do I sacrifice time to get God's direction? Do I sacrifice money to get God's direction? Do I sacrifice my future to get God's direction? Do I sacrifice my comfort to get God's direction? Do I sacrifice my reputation to get God's direction? Do I sacrifice opportunities to get God's direction? Do I sacrifice my agenda, my best interest to get God's direction? Elijah did all that. Ordinary average guy, but he did all that. It's ordinary. He's average. He's just like us. But he's hungry for God. Hungry for God. I cannot do miracles, but I can be hungry for God. All of us can be hungry for God. What does that mean? Well, Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled, content, peaceful. You know, they'll be filled. However you want to translate that word, full. You won't be empty. Okay? You won't be dry. You'll be full. Now, I don't know why, but in this series, the Eagles keep creeping into my messages, okay? We started off Ordinary Average Guy. I played the whole tune for you, Joe Walsh and the Eagles. And here I was researching this, and the lead singer for the guy that does most of the lead vocals for the Eagles is Don Henley, the drummer, okay? He was the original drummer, but he began singing, and he had an incredible solo career. He did Dirty Laundry, The Boys This Summer, All She Wants to Do Is Dance. There's another cute song, Driving With Your Eyes Closed. While I was like praying over this, this song came to me about where we're at. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit can take even the stupidest things and really hit you right between the eyes. And I remembered this Don Henley tune that goes like this. And you talk about love, but you don't know what it means. Yeah, you talk about love. So tell me, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Not bad enough. Not bad enough. I don't mean to be mean, but that's where most Christians in North America are. They all know about love. How bad do they want it? Not bad enough. We are content to live without the miraculous. We are. Okay? We live in Canada, best country in the world. The surveys tell us every year. Sometimes Norway's in first. Sometimes Iceland's in first. But usually we're always in the top two or three. Okay? Kind of rotates. And we got health care and we got jobs, and there's very few people that are really, really poor in Canada. In fact, the poorest of the poor in Canada, and I've used this stat for years, and it hasn't changed. If anything, they're even richer, okay? The poorest of the poor in Canada are better off than about 85 to 90% of the rest of the world, okay? That's how well off we are here. So we're content to live without the miraculous. And it, you can tell in our culture. We come up to Pummy, some of you, how are you? Fine. Okay, fine. Take a closer look at the word fine there. Okay, we're doing fine, and people are going to hell. We're doing fine, and people are putting up with hell. We're doing fine. They have no advocate like we do, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. We're doing fine. They have no Savior. They have no hope. Their hope is in a political system. Their hope is in a country, and you got enough friends at work to know how messed up and empty and lonely and lost people are without Christ. There are messed up, empty, and lonely people in evangelical churches in church this morning, right now, because it's religion and because they don't know anything else. The vitality of knowing Jesus died long ago, and they're going through the motions. Some of you know what it's like to go through the motions. Well, church, you know, the robot goes here, sits down, listens to the message, comes home, you know, puts the TV on, has some fun, maybe, you know. Okay? We have very little of the miraculous. But you know what we've got? And I don't mean to labor this and give you a hard time, but we have hope. We have hope. One of the most enriching things that's happened to me in the last 10 months, you don't need a lot of the stuff that you think you need in church. All you need is Jesus. And, you know, probably the greatest lesson I've learned, how wonderful he is and how the real deal is more powerful than whatever man can put together to make things impressive. You know, when Jesus needs to be presented, or whatever you call that stuff. We have faith. In fact, we've got hope. We may even have a little bit of faith. And if you got faith, if it's the real deal, whoa, we're talking Elijah all over again. Now, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? If you asked Elijah when the angel woke him up, like he did this morning. An angel woke me up this morning, dear. Okay. Okay, everybody puke. Get over with. Okay. 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 I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Stupid. Okay. If you asked Elijah, what are we going to do with it? When the angel woke him up, okay? When the angel woke you up, get up, get to church. Why? Because the journey's too great for you. What journey? I'm only going to church. Elijah, where are you going? Mount Sinai. Because it represented God. That's where God talks to people. Okay? I'm going to go there. Notice he didn't choose the temple. Because the temple had long been desecrated by Ahab and Jezebel. No, I got to go to the real deal. Okay? I got to go where, you know? So, get up. The journey's too good for you. Where are you going? Too strong for you. Well, I don't know. I'm going to go to church. I don't know. I'm going to, you know. Why are you going to Sinai? Elijah? I don't know. But I'm going to go, though. You're crazy. Yeah, probably. But the angel said, get up. And said something about a journey. That's probably the most God-honoring place to go to. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do with this anointing. So what's the best reaction? I'm going to go where I believe it's going to be the richest, the best experience I can have with God. And some of you came here because that's what you're connecting with now. What I'm wanting to say is, if people think you're nuts, you're probably right in the center of God's will. Because from the outside, you look at Elijah and his priority. You crazy? Even God said, what are you doing here? When he got there, okay? And if people think you're crazy, you're probably in the center of his will. Walking in obedience. And I know it's easy to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. And trust the Holy Spirit's going to anoint it in your life. Who cares what they think? Now, I don't mean that in a pretentious judgment. Who cares what they... We all care what people think because we love people, right? But boy, you can't let the opinions of people stop you from following God. What he's asking of you, he hasn't given all the details yet, has he? Okay? Just like Elijah. So Elijah's faithful to what he knows. Get up. Just do it. Get her done. John, I came here for answers. Hey, Elijah went further than you for answers, and he still got, what are you doing here? Okay? God might even be playing, it seems like to us, games with us. I think God was testing him and pushing him to the limit. And there are dads that push their kids, and they just feel bad because the kid doesn't understand and doesn't know it. But dad knows life. And he's thinking in the back of his mind, and if God's the father that we believe he is, I'm sure that while Elijah's going through it and thinking, you gotta be, come on, look what I just did on Carmel, and you don't even know what I'm doing here? Come on! 40 days, man! Why do you take me to the edge like this, you know? That's what I would have said. And I'm sure if God is anything like the father we is, because some of us have been like this, you know, before Christmas, when we know what's under the tree. And we know what's going to flip them out. I'm sure God was thinking, oh, Elijah, you have no idea. You are going, man, you are in a different category than you. You don't even have a clue what I'm in store for you. But Elijah, when you pull into heaven, okay, on that chariot, not only with Elisha, not only and the people that witnessed it, they're blown away. When you pull into heaven, the angels are even going to say, did you see that? Never done that before. That was pretty cool. Well, I was around when Enoch was here. Oh, that's nothing. Enoch, nothing like that. Enoch just got here. You know, he's walking with God and he shows up. Oh, look at that. That would never pulled that stunt before. Elijah. Whoa, man. It's kind of like when the hockey players come out on the ice. They play the music and the fog and everything. Oh, yeah. Well, Doug, tramp that up 100-fold. That's Elijah coming into heaven, you know. In a tricked out Dodge Challenger with a Hemi, with a, you know, like the flare, I don't know, you know. Close your eyes, let's pray. God, I know, and it's not because I'm spooky or I got some kind of gifting or anything, Lord, it's just, we know what you do in these services, God. There are people that are following you and they don't have a clue where you're leading them. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. And they're frustrated. And God, Lord, those of us, Lord, that want to pray in agreement right now, we lift up our brothers and sisters that are in that place this morning right now. And we pray, God, for the faith that is the evidence of things not seen. That real faith, God, would be deposited in people's lives right now, God. Keep your eyes closed. I just gave you a little bit of a phrase there on what faith is, okay? Nobody looking around. I don't want to center people out. If you're in a place here this morning, God's watching, okay? And you'd say to God, God, I got nothing. I would really like some faith. I'd really like that faith that John's talking about that has no reason to believe whatsoever except it's a supernatural gift of faith. Boy, would I like some of that in my life. Put your hand up right now. Put your hand up right now, right now. Put it back down, okay? God, your word says you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Lord, your word says there's not a good thing that you will withhold to them who walk uprightly before you. God, what can be more upright than one of your children reaching up their hands saying, God, I need faith. You spoke to that guy, Lord, that said, I have unbelief. Help me with my unbelief. And you healed his daughter, God. God, I don't have magic words to make it happen. But Lord, I know there's people that have even raised their hand that are in agreement with prayer with me right now. Lord, would you deposit faith, Lord, in those that had said, yeah, I need that. Lord, your word says that we confess you before men, God. you will confess us before our Father who is in heaven. And people just confess their desire for faith before me in obedience to you, God. You have to be true to your word, God. So I'm asking for faith this morning, God. And I pray that you would shatter the egos and the predisposition to doubt. I pray you would shatter that stuff that stops people from receiving that gift of faith. We agree on that too. The power of the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So now, God, we depart and we shift gears and we're going to believe, Lord God, that you've answered our prayer. And we're going to expect. And we're going to realize that as we're visiting this morning and as we're interacting with each other, we have the ability to fan the flames of faith. We have the ability to encourage. Lord, we may not feel like it ourselves, but God, our words may just turn the corner in somebody's life here this morning, God. And set them on a path that comparatively is almost like a chariot that takes them to heaven, God. We're not waiting for that stuff. Lord, we've got that stuff now in faith. And we receive it in the name of Jesus. And we build it up in each other this morning as well. Amen. Amen. God bless you.